The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome into a Thursday edition of the Leach Report. Happy to have you on board with us for an hour of UK sports conversation as we inch closer to the start of football practice and those games in the Bahamas next week. Yesterday was an open practice session for John Calipari's basketball team, so media members got a look at the Cats. We're going to hear from one of the new guys, transfer Reed Travis, here in just a moment. But first, let me set the order of the show for today. Mike Pratt will lead us off. Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated. And Jim O'Brien, who is a sports author and historian from Pittsburgh, who was with us earlier this year. Longtime editor of Street and Smith's College Basketball Yearbook. And he and some buddies did a guy's trip to various sports venues around this area and some others. And one of the things they did was stop in and watch a Kentucky practice. So Jim has known Cal for a long time, so we'll get some of his thoughts on Kentucky basketball and also a little bit about the pretty cool trip that he took. So that's what our guest lineup is for today, and it is presented each and every day by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. And we will lead off with a little discussion about Kentucky basketball's open practice session yesterday. Cal said that, not surprisingly, he's going to use the games in the Bahamas to experiment and try different combinations of things. He said he'll probably let his assistants coach and he'll observe from the stands. That's what he did in those games in the Bahamas back in 2014. Starting to do some prep for the games, and there's a guy on one of the teams, I think it's the Bahamas team that Kentucky will face, that played for the team. Well, Kentucky was there in 2014. North Carolina was also in the Bahamas playing some exhibition games. They were playing a softer schedule than Kentucky was, and Carolina lost one of their games, and one of the guys that was on the team that beat the Tar Heels that year is on this Bahamian team that Kentucky is going to play. His name's Eugene Bain. There's a guy that played at DePaul that was a good player for DePaul. Some other smaller college players. A guy who played at Maryland and Texas, Shaq Clair, is going to be playing it for one of the teams. The Colby brothers are playing, I think, for the Bahamas team. One of them played at started at Ole Miss and then played at Western Kentucky. So we'll get more into that next week. Cal talked about E.J. Montgomery, said he's better than I thought. Praised Nick Richards' improvement. Talked about his team will be more physical than past teams have been. A lot of the writers who were covering sent out tweets that talked about the focus being on defense and a lot of use of the term one more for an extra pass and talk about throwing the ball ahead. Those kind of things are not new. He's had those themes in the past, but certainly emphasizing them for this group. And Reed Travis, the grad transfer from Stanford, talked to the media yesterday. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think it's just being humble in the fact that I'm not going to walk in the door and gain everybody's trust the first day. You know what I'm saying? That's something that you got to work on day in and day out, show my work ethic, show that I can be that leader. And then hopefully when we get into the season, they can look at me and kind of lean on me for certain things that I've gone through. But the reality is that I kind of feel like a freshman all over again in my own right as far as being here, being fresh, still going through the system. But any little tidbits that I can give them here and there, I'm definitely going to do that, try and mold myself into that role.
How much do you think is on your shoulders? Because when you transferred, I think people got excited and saw you as almost like a missing link, a component that the team needed.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that play on your mind to be that guy?
Not too much. I mean, I feel like being a captain the last 3 years at Stanford and having a lot of guys look towards you for a lot of guidance, I had a lot of training, a lot of practice in that as far as what it takes to be the guy on the team. And obviously I come here, there's a lot of great players, a lot of great leaders. So I'm not coming into a position where it's really put on my shoulders. I feel like we have a lot of guys that can do a lot of things. So it's just finding my role and trying to play that the best I can to help the team.
You're all embraced just the whole Kentucky experience, the history, and the expectations that come with it.
Yeah, I'm still learning. Like I said, I just got out here about a month ago, and every day I'm kind of learning the expectation and the history and what comes behind being part of this program and this tradition. So for me, it's been a blessing just being able to talk to former players or see certain guys around and just kind of pick their brain about what it means to be here at Kentucky and the certain level of work ethic that you got to have with it.
Reed Travis, and you can tell how just poised he is. Not surprisingly, he's done a lot of interviews, been in a lot of those settings. The other big story in the sports world that people are talking about today is that Urban Meyer, the Ohio State coach, is on paid leave amid questions about his handling of an assistant coach who was accused of domestic abuse. So we'll get into a little bit of that as it pertains to certainly recruiting when Justin Rowland joins us. But first up, it's Mike Pratt. He'll be with us when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into our show for this Thursday. Mike Pratt joins us, as he always does, brought to you by the good folks at Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Check them out at boonesbutchershop.com. Saw you at practice back on Tuesday, and I know you've and to watch them a couple times. This was they were into the more serious practices for the Bahamas now, and they had an open practice for the media yesterday. So it's a chance to kind of assess. You probably saw more scrimmaging than you'd seen before. Give me just some overall impressions of what you've seen to this point.
Well, Tom, this team is going to be, all of them, a very fast team. The big guys can run. The other players, mid-sized players, there's, you know, Quad A's the shortest guy. He's 6 foot, but there is a lot of speed on this team. And you know how they like to talk about the speed that your receivers have. Well, this team, I'll tell you what, they can run the floor and they can get up on the glass. I think it could be a better rebounding team than many people think or want to talk about. I like the potential in that area. And a couple guys, you know, I mean, there's some guys there that really have developed, 2 weeks since I saw them practice. Look like they're playing with more confidence. That's what these practices are about, to gain confidence in what Calipari wants them to do. And they look like they're playing with a lot more confidence yesterday than they did 2 weeks ago.
I saw a play in one of the sessions I watched where, and it speaks to the speed you were talking about. You know, sometimes you'll see a horse break a step slow, and then he just spurts through the whole field like he's last out of the gate, and you know, five or six strides, he's on top, and he just spurts through the whole field. And I saw him do an outlet pass to Ashton Hagens, and Cal had gotten on him about pushing the ball up the court. They got an outlet pass, and everybody had, you know, headed back down the court, and here came Ashton sprinting through the pack to lead the break, to be ahead of them by the time they got to the other end. And, that kind of speed's exciting to watch.
It is. And that young fella, he needs some work offensively, particularly with his jump shot right now. But, boy, he's got a body, and he plays really hard. And did you see him defend the other day when we
yes.
were there?
Yes. That was really good to see because he seemed to enjoy that.
Yeah, he did. He just stretched out all the long arms, just stretched out and was really getting after it. And you and I were sitting there, and we go like, wow. You know, I mean, I think this team defensively on the perimeter is going to be very good. I can see a lot of talent from all the guys defensively on the perimeter. Now, do you have a shot blocker back there to clean up any messes? That's the real question. I think Montgomery could be. And of course, Nick, we know he's got the potential to be that. And did you see Nick the other day running the floor? He was flying.
You know, I was talking with Rex on Monday's show. I mentioned the fact that that's one thing you don't see, you know, Anthony Nerlens, you know, Carl kind of shot blocking, that would be a way for Nick to carve out a spot for himself that folks might not have thought would be as big as it could be if he would really excel at that.
Absolutely. And, you know, last year, again, I said this before, you and I have talked about it on your show, that I think he lost his confidence mm-hmm. about a week or two into January. And I think he played hesitant. He got lost. He just became a spectator because he didn't feel comfortable about himself or what he was doing. And where we've seen some terrific shot blockers over the last years is that anticipation, moving across the lane and cleaning up the mess at the last minute, the long arm of the law, you know, at the rim. And, boy, if he could do that, and that's just about feeling good about yourself that you can do it and anticipating that. And last year he wasn't anticipating for the last, what, 2 months, month and a half. And I think a lot of that has to do with his confidence. And I like Montgomery's anticipation. We watched him last couple of days I was up there, and he seems to get it anticipation-wise. Got long arms, got the length to do that. So, and PJ will fool you. PJ is a good jumper. He's a very good jumper with a run, but he's got some long arms. He'll block the shot. So I think there's potential back there. I just want to see it.
Yeah, there's not that maybe one guy, but maybe it could be. And then the 2015 group was a little like that they, you know, collectively they had such length that it was yep. like shooting over yep. trees. And so this could be that kind of team where there's maybe not one guy that blocks the bulk of the shots, but just that, you know, Keldon Johnson's got long arms. You know, these are guys that are going to be hard to shoot over.
And he will do it. He's a very aggressive player, very, very aggressive. But you go back and check the numbers on the championship team 12, and I think the lowest and I may be wrong, but if I remember, I looked at this before, the fewest shot blocks was either Darius Miller or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You know, Jones, Terrence, and A.D., they all blocked a lot of shots. I mean, we had four mm-hmm. or five guys that could block shots.
Yeah. Everybody kind of focuses on just Anthony because of how good he was yep. at it. But you're right. There were other guys that were very good at it. And, you know, I guess I said that 2015 group, it was spread over. You know, Carl could do it. Willie, when he was out there before he got hurt, Alex. This should be a really good ball pressure team, I would think.
I would think so, too. And I think Hero and the guards, all of them, with the exception of Quad A, can block a shot. Not that he can't, but, I mean, they all, Higgins, you know, they got long arms, okay? And, boy, with those long arms and good size, they become a factor in that defensive play from the weak side or off side. So I think this team could be a very good rebounding team at both ends and be a very good defensive team over the course of the season.
One thing that looks clear to me is these are probably going to be the best practices day in and day out, competition, intensity, probably since that 2015 team because of that depth and talent.
Did you notice that, how hard they went after each
yeah.
other? Man. That was like December. That was like December, January intensity. I was, and it was like that the first day I was up there a couple weeks ago. I mean, they didn't. Keldon called people out and got after people, and then people responded to him. He didn't bully anybody around. He got a pushback by all the guys that he got after, and he may have won the battle. I can't remember. May have lost it, but there was pushback against him, and he was the alpha dog that day defensively, but nobody backed down. They pushed back on him, and boy, that's what you want to see.
Well, the thing is, and you can speak to this, players know the situation. Coaches can try to, you know, motivate them or you know, say things, but players know, you know, how what the depth of talent is, whether it's, you know, an abundance of it or a lack of it, and they, you know, knowingly or not, probably adjust accordingly.
They do, and as a player, you know what happens in practice, and if a guy's got the better of you and you see him for the time being the starter, then what you have to do is adjust yourself mentally and say, look, he may have gotten me in practice, but he's pretty daggone good and I'm pretty good, but I'm going to wait to have is my minutes. When I get my minutes, I'm going to make something happen where coaches have to take notice of me. And that's what you want, where the guys that may have had a bad practice or two and fallen a little bit behind. You want them to respond when they're given their chance. If they're pouting or sulking, you know, and they get their minutes, don't get anything done, all they're doing is reinforcing a backup position for them. But as you know, and you've seen, and I've seen, when guys come off that bench, but Darius Miller, I mean, you know, how much did he make things happen coming off that bench his whole career? And we've had others too. Derek Willis was that way. And that's what you want. And I think this team, when I saw him push back against Keldon that day, I thought, you know what? It's going to be interesting. He's got some guys that probably won't start, and I don't know who will start, but probably won't. But he's going to bring some guys off the bench that are going to be able to make statements because they're going to be ready, and they're not. Doesn't look like they're going to be pouting and moping.
A week from today, we will be having this discussion down in the Bahamas, and we'll actually have a game to talk about. So look forward to that, and see you on the plane on Monday.
Just remember one thing. If we have a game, and the starting center is the guy that brought the bags to your room, no problem.
Unless you didn't tip him.
Yeah. Then he'll be over. He'll have your mic.
well, sounds good. Thanks, Mike. It's Mike Pratt on Twitter. It's at Mike Pratt 22. And he and I will be there courtside next Wednesday night for the first of four games in the Bahamas. The games will be at the Atlantis Resort this time. TJ Beisner is going to work with us doing some sideline reporting down there as well. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Justin Rowland joins us from CatsIllustrated.com. We'll start with the biggest story in college football, Justin, is the Urban Meyer story out of Ohio State. And it certainly feels like this is trending toward a coaching change, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was curious yesterday, so I went on these online betting platforms to see what the odds makers were saying, and they still had him being the head coach at Ohio State for the season opener as like the most likely scenario, but it being possible that he not be. And with news of, you know, Ryan Day now as the acting coach, I'd say that those chances have plummeted. I mean, just where we're at as a society in 2018 and what this story entails, I would say there's a very real chance he's gone.
And there's a young man that Kentucky is pursuing from over in Frankfort that Ohio State's one of his main suitors, right, Robinson?
Yeah, Wandale Robinson. That's the immediate significance for Kentucky. I don't know that I would say Ohio State would be the main competition there. I would say that Alabama and maybe Purdue would be perhaps more likely competition. But yeah, I mean, this is really relevant to Kentucky's recruiting in Ohio, especially,
right?
I would say Urban Meyer has actually been very good for Kentucky because they've recruited more nationally than locally, and that's expanded the pool of guys that Kentucky's been able to recruit in Ohio. So if they were to move on from Meyer and get somebody who were to prioritize Ohio more, that could potentially be a bad thing, but I'm sure the staff would find a way to adapt and adjust.
Talk with Justin Rowland from CatsIllustrated.com. We'll get into more of Kentucky football when we come right back to start the second half of the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Justin Rowland with us from CatsIllustrated.com. He and his team will have a ton of coverage of UK Football Media Day tomorrow and Fan Day on Saturday. And Justin, ahead of the start of practice tomorrow for Coach Stoops and his guys, hearing any buzz about players that we should pay attention to in the coming weeks?
Yeah, one that I've heard some really good things about is Chris Oates. And, you know, I saw Chris Oates, the freshman linebacker that was a four-star prospect, over the summer standing next to Keaton Upshaw, who's probably like 6'6" and a half, really well put together. And Oates wasn't much shorter than him, and he's got these broad shoulders. He's going to get a lot bigger, but I think people are going to be surprised at how physically advanced and developed Chris Oates is already. He can play inside linebacker, outside linebacker, and for a team that is trying to build depth at linebacker after two unexpected offseason losses, Denzel Ware and Eli Brown. I think especially at one of those inside spots, I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Oates is in the mix to play a lot as a true freshman.
And as far as we know, Jordan Jones is going to be back, but is probably going to be limited early in training camp as he recovers from that shoulder deal. So that would mean guys like Oates, the door's going to be open for somebody to get more reps than they might normally get.
Yeah, and we don't know which Jordan Jones we're going to see this year. I mean, I think there's a really wide range of possible outcomes for him. Is he going to be the 2016 version that was an all-SEC player, leading tackler all over the field, or is he going to be the up-and-down kind of, you know, where's his head at that we saw last year? And, you know, I think the best-case scenario with Jordan is really good, but I think you could also envision a scenario where there are some hiccups. So it's going to be important for not just Chris Oates, but also DeAndre Square, who came in a semester early to make an impact.
Yeah, what I've heard about Jordan is I think they feel good about where he will be mentally, because they feel like his focus is going to be sharpened by the fact that he isn't getting much attention and nobody's talking about him much, as opposed to last year when he was getting a lot of praise and acclaim, and that maybe that puts a little, I don't know if it's the Benny Snell chip on the shoulder thing, but at least it sharpens his focus.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not going to be one of those people that pounces on him the first time he gets flagged for a late hit. I imagine at some point this year that's probably going to happen. We'll know quickly, I think, in his body language and his demeanor, how he responds to something like that in the next few snaps, few plays. And you know, you got to hope that he's going to be resilient and be able to reel it in.
You wrote something recently at catsillustrated.com about, while noting there's a lot of juniors and seniors on this team, that the sophomores may be a critical piece to Kentucky's success.
Absolutely, yeah. The quarterback battle is between a couple of sophomores. I think the receiver unit success with Lynn Bowden, Josh Ali, Zaire Hughes, Isaiah Epps, you're talking about a bunch of sophomores that need to take a step forward. Over on the other side of the ball, you got Jamar Watson. It's just a whole lot of sophomores in this class. Josh Pascal, Quentin Bohanna. How much progress guys make from their freshman to their sophomore year, I think more than any other factor is going to determine how good this Kentucky team is. And I think it's a good sign. People are kind of looking at 2019 and saying, well, how are they going to deal with all these losses? I think the sophomore class actually has a lot more talent than we've given it credit for so far.
You had you lost a quarterback that had a knack for making big plays and led you to 14 wins in the last two seasons, and you are going to replace him with somebody who's never taken a college snap, whoever it is. At kicker, you had a guy who was incredibly reliable, made clutch kicks, and there's a chance that his replacement could be a true freshman, and the punter could be a guy that's never kicked in a college game before. All that's a lead-up to ask you if you're hearing anything about the punter and place kickers.
Yeah, I have not. It's going to be a battle between Grant McInnes and Max Duffy, and Chance Poor is going to have a big say the place kicking. The thing that concerns me about this Kentucky team, and I think they could win nine games in a great scenario, is they had a very clear formula for winning games last year. They played at one of the slowest tempos of any team in the country. Steven Johnson improved at ball control, and they were extremely reliable and efficient on special teams. Pretty much the Virginia basketball of college football. And now you don't know what your quarterback is like ball security-wise. You don't know how efficient they're going to be, and you've got a ton of questions about the special teams unit. So I almost think that becoming more explosive and up-tempo on offense is almost going to be necessary, because I don't know that same formula exists for winning that we saw last year.
I think you're spot on. I think they need to be like, and I think they can be like the offense they had in 2016 when they were, you know, capable of putting 35 to 40 up on a lot of teams, but a lot of that obviously will depend on the play at quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. I do think they're going to be more explosive. You're right. Those sophomores you mentioned, Lynn Bowden, Josh Ali, Isaiah Epps, you know, I thought Zaire Hughes looked really good in space in the spring game. I think they're going to be more explosive on the outside. A.J. Rose, Saheem King should both be better. Yeah, if Terry Wilson, or even if Gunnar Hoke wins the starting job, I do think it's going to be a more explosive team. So I expect the offense to take a big step forward.
You had a tweet referencing a recruiting battle that's heating up. A guy that says committed to Kentucky, linebacker Trey Wilkins at Alabama's making, a big push for.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, if Alabama's going to make him a top target, but he told me that since he committed to Kentucky, Alabama has been coming a lot harder, and they want him to go take a visit down there. And given Kentucky's recruiting history against Alabama, you're going to hold your breath anytime that happens, anytime Saban wants somebody. But at this point, I would say more than anything, it's just probably reinforcement. You feel good about the guy. You know, if Alabama's got him on his radar, a linebacker, you know, he's a very active, he plays fast, he's an athletic linebacker, and, you know, if Saban likes him, then you probably got a good one.
Let's switch gears to basketball. By the time we talk next, on next Thursday from down in the Bahamas, Kentucky will have played its first game, so we'll have something definitive to talk about. But as they head into these games in the Bahamas, what are you thinking you're going to be most interested in seeing?
You know, we had Jeff Drummond at the open practice yesterday, and so I'm just reading secondhand reports of what people are saying. What I'm really interested in is how the backcourt pieces fit together, because it seems like Quickly and Higgins are similar in some respects, and in a lot of respects, actually. And, you know, maybe not the dead-eye shooter that Quade Green or Tyler is going to be. You know, what does John Calipari want out of his backcourt combinations? You know, you think Quickly and Higgins would be kind of the lockdown defensive backcourt penetrating guys, but how are you going to balance putting shooters on the court with getting that defense in the backcourt? I think it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
The four games, Cal says, you know, they'd be lucky if they maybe win one. I suspect they'll do considerably better than that. Mike Pratt was talking with us earlier about just the intensity that he sees in practice, that it's more of a in-season level than what you would expect in August. That certainly speaks. Same way, you know, on a football field, when you've got battles for getting on the field or getting on the court at a position, what Cal's going to have, that's when you get ultimate effort from your guys.
Yeah, I mean, you got a rare combination of guys that are kind of like alpha dog personalities and guys that have come back to prove something, and Reed Travis, who's coming to prove a whole lot after a career at Stanford that was successful individually, but maybe not as much as you know, on the team side. And, you know, and you've got that much depth, guys aren't going to be able to let up at any moment. I think that as much as the talent, as much as how balanced the team appears, that combination of factors that I think is going to lead to an ultra-intense team is probably the most optimistic sign about this group that I've seen.
Justin Rowland, CatsIllustrated.com, and you can follow on Twitter at Roland Rivals, and a lot of coverage of the open practice yesterday is up at the site now, and media day coverage coming tomorrow for Kentucky football, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, Justin.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Take care.
And it's Justin Rowland, Cats Illustrated, and his weekly visits to our show are presented by Shufflebean Coffee. And we are heading to break, 17 away from the top of the hour, here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
I was just becoming a college basketball fan. The thing I would most look forward to every season, at the start of every season, was getting the Street and Smith College Basketball Yearbook to read about not only Kentucky, but all of the top teams across the country. And the founding editor of that publication was Jim O'Brien. And he was with us earlier this year talking about his book, Looking Up, about his life covering basketball at the college and pro level. And he's back now to talk a little bit about a fun trip, Jim. I do a baseball trip with a buddy of mine, have for about 20 years, where we go to different ballparks every summer. You and some buddies went on an odyssey here that took you through several states and a lot of impressive sports venues, including some in Kentucky, right?
Exactly. Good morning, Tom. Jim O'Brien here in Pittsburgh. I'm sitting next to a pickleball court. I've just been playing pickleball, keeping some kind of shape, but I loved my trip with my buddy Alex Pochask. We've done this once before, about 5 or 6 years ago out in the Midwest, and this was our southern sojourn. And we went to the university. We finished up at the University of Kentucky, and that was really great because when you mentioned my Street and Smith magazine, which I edited for about 30 years, when I was a kid, I used to read all the sports magazines, especially Sport magazine. I had them all on my nightstand. And to think that from, you know, the age of 10 through 15, that all these people I read about and devoured their statistics and everything else, that someday, you know, I would be doing a magazine like that, that I would be editing it, would have been beyond my wildest dreams. And this trip was sort of a dream trip. I outlined it. My buddy did all the driving. He did all the heavy work. He picked the right hotels. And we had to change one part of it. We were supposed to go visit two Western Kentucky basketball players who played in the ABA, Bobby Rasko and Daryl Carrier. Carrier, best known as being that part of that guard tandem with Louis Dampier from the University of Kentucky. It was one of the best guard combinations in the ABA. But we had to change that because it wasn't the right time for them, and we're going to do it later with them. But instead, we went to the University of Lexington, the University of Kentucky at Lexington, and what a thrill that was, seeing all that greatness on the wall, on the murals and everything else. It was one of the museums, actually, that we walked through, because we visited the Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville. We visited the Kentucky Derby Museum. We visited Churchill Downs, Indy 500 track. We did it all, and when we came home, we were exhausted, but we were also, it was like coming away from a honeymoon. We felt weak, and we had enjoyed it so much, especially the time we spent with Coach Calipari.
Yeah, you were a Pittsburgh guy, so you go way back with Cal. Tell me what you saw. I guess you got to see a practice or part of one?
Yeah, well, my friend Alex, that was the highlight of our tour, all these great places. I mean, we saw Muhammad Ali's boyhood home, Pink and Smoketown, section of Louisville. But he said the highlight was watching John Calipari conduct a practice at the University of Kentucky. It wasn't what we were used to as young men, where we'd see guys doing layups and running up and down the court and so forth. John had a battle plan for practice. He was getting ready for the Battle of the Bahamas. And he was like a college professor there at midcourt, flipping the pages. Had everything detailed, and Eric Lindsay, who was our host, who handled the public relations for basketball, was such a great tour guide for us, made sure we saw everything. He said Cal prepares a plan for every practice, and it was all game condition stuff, you know, and he would holler out stuff like, you have to identify, let your teammates know, holler out, I've got the shooter, I've got the shooter, and it was all precise. And that was interesting in itself. A lot of it was defense-oriented. A lot of it was he's supposed to be shooting more threes this coming season. What's the kid's name from Stanford that
Reed Travis,
him, the new transfer from who played at Stanford University? What's his name?
Reed Travis.
Yeah, he impressed me. He's going to be a big factor in the team this year. He's a very strong kid, and he's very sturdily built, and he appears to have good basketball sense. And since John always has such a young team, I think this will be a steady influence. And he's a guy who had success in a big-time program in the Pac-12 at Stanford, so he will help. And, you know, I've known John. John was a grad assistant at the University of Pittsburgh when I was working there as the assistant athletic director for public relations. He had played basketball at Clarion University, and one of our volunteer coaches was Joe DiGregorio, who has remained a friend of Cal's ever since, and Cal looks after his old college coach, gets him to the Final Four every year. And he was a grad assistant under both Roy Chipman and also under Coach, Paul Evans.
Yeah,
and that's where he cut his teeth in coaching. And I always tell people that I think John's been successful for a couple of reasons. One, he's so fiercely competitive. He wasn't a great basketball player, but neither was Adolph Rupp. He had a great personality. He was a salesman. I think you have to be a salesman to be successful. No matter what you do, I mean, I write books, but I'm in sales. And I'm also, I've always thought of myself as a teacher. And I think John does too. I mean, that practice was a teaching classroom at the University of Kentucky. I enjoyed seeing Memorial Hall, which is still intact, and how they downsized it, and that's where the women play their basketball games. And I've been saying for 10 years that at the University of Pittsburgh, the women ought to play in the smaller building, so they have more of a sense of crowd, more atmosphere, and everything else. But with Title IX, you got to have the same conditions and the same, but it doesn't make any sense to me because they could really dress it up like they have in Kentucky and have it one of their own. I was doing a little bit of showing off, too, Tom, when I was there. I'd see these pictures from the 50s on the wall of people that I'd seen in magazines whenever I was 12, 13, 14. And I was telling Eric Lindsay, I said, well, that's Lou Tysoropoulos. And I still don't know how to spell it. I said, that's Cliff Hagan. That's Frank Ramsey. That's Pat Riley. And I said, I bet I'm the only person in this building that is shaking hands with those guys and with Adolph Rupp. I remember interviewing Adolph Rupp at Rupp Arena. And I didn't realize until I visited that the University of Kentucky does not own Rupp Arena. I just assumed that they did, but it's a city-owned sports venue, but they use it well.
Well, Jim, I appreciate the time. We're coming up on the end here. It's really it's a cool trip. You sent me some notes that you're one of two sports writers left that was actually ringside for the Ali Frazier first fight at the Garden in 71, which we'll get you back on it. I'd like to pick your brain on some of those stories, but being at the music.
Well, I've covered all sports. I've really enjoyed the trip. We also saw things that were dedicated to Abraham Lincoln and to Stephen Foster. And all I can tell you and I told them at my old Kentucky home, you are treating Mr. Foster a lot better in Kentucky than we are treating him in his hometown of Pittsburgh. Stephen Foster never set foot in Kentucky, but corresponded with a cousin, female cousin, and wrote my old Kentucky home. And when they were singing it at Churchill Downs earlier in the year in May, and they sing it with more fervor, I think, than they sing the national anthem. And
yes, they do.
We are disrespecting Foster in Pittsburgh. We took a statue away whenever they were taking away their statues of Civil War heroes and everything, and people don't realize that Stephen Foster was an abolitionist. Hey, he was on your side.
Jim,
so we'll
got to run.
About it because we can visit again later in the year.
Will do. Jim O'Brien, sportsauthor.com, and you can get the Looking Up book that we talked with him earlier about and others that he's written. And, Jim, glad to hear the stories. Thank you so much. We got to get to a break. We'll come back and wrap it up after this timeout. Congrats to Cole Mosier. Former Wildcat has signed to play for Memphis in the new AAF League. Professional football league that's going to start play next February, so we wish him well. And a really cool thing that went on at UK yesterday, there's an organization called Team Impact that is drawing awareness to cystic fibrosis by setting up signing ceremonies for young kids with fighting cystic fibrosis. And one of them, Luke Clossing from Louisville, age 11, signed with the Cats yesterday. Former players were there. It was just a really cool event. He's going to be part of the team. Gonna do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow on the Leach Report.
Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach.